Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Coming up, we're going to be talking about Run Disney revealing the race themes for the 2019 Star Wars Rival Run weekend. That's a mouthful. Disney Cruise Line announces the addition of Captain Marvel to the Marvel Day at Sea. And a little later, we're going to be discussing what attractions that we'd love to see get a Halloween overlay. So all that and more from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida. This is the Diz Unplugged. This is episode 1012 of the Diz Unplugged for the week of October 30th, 2018. The Diz Unplugged is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect Disney vacation. Visit them on the web at dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Well, hello again, everyone. Welcome to the show. Coming to you live from the Bob Varley Studio. I am your host, Rhino Clavin, here this week, filling in for Pete Werner while he is out in Aulani and then off on his way to Tokyo to see the Disney theme park out there. So we are all incredibly jealous, but hoping that he's having a great time. Now, I am the God of Thunder, and to join me for today's episode, we've got the blind lawyer from Hell's Kitchen, Charles Boda.
Hello.
The astronaut,
hi,
Kathy
everybody.
Whirling. The short-haired domestic, Teresa Eccles.
Everybody.
Then we've got Princess Peach. And in the back, the man that makes it all happen, Mr. Craig Williams.
As himself.
Who is wearing a Nightmare Before Christmas shirt, if you cannot tell that if you're watching.
Yes, I was taking care of my wife at the hospital right before I had to come over for this show. So sorry I'm not in the spirit, but if you're listening to this, it doesn't matter anyways.
Yeah, so anyway, well, thank you. This is my first time hosting the Diz Unplugged, the Tuesday show. Also, I'm realizing it. Like 3 minutes before we went live, I don't think I've actually hosted a live show either before. So I am feeling a little nervous. So bear with me here today. But so we're going to jump right in. We're going to do some housekeeping. And you've heard us say it every week, and we're going to keep saying it every week till we get to our marathon show coming up November 24th. That is going to be the Saturday after Thanksgiving. That is going to be a 12-hour show. I can't remember the times off the top of my head. I want to say 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. During that show, we're going to be doing a live, it will be live, but it's an auction to benefit Give Kids the World. You guys out there have donated some amazing things so far. Teresa is the one handling that down at the Welcome Center. Teresa, do you want to tell us anything really cool that's come through?
Wow.
Some catnip or something. She's had a lot of catnip before
you
the
name
show.
It and we have it. We've got some it's not all Disney stuff. We got some really cool vintage Disney items. I've got a guitar signed by Aretha Franklin. I've got some really cool Star Wars, autographed Star Wars stuff, and some cat stuff, and just, you know, books, magazines, figurines. It's just really cool. We got a massive amount of stuff.
Yeah, and we are still taking donations, but we're getting close to the cutoff point of that. So if you were thinking about donating something to the auction, please get that in maybe by the end of this week or the end of the show. Well, keep watching the show and then go to the post office. But Teresa, I can't remember the address for the Welcome Center, and I didn't write it in my notes. So
6550 North Atlantic Avenue, Suite B. And that's Cape Canaveral, Florida, 32-something. But it's in the show notes, right? I don't remember.
32920.
Thank you, 32920.
Thank you, Princess Peach. I should have went with the royalty. That's what I should.
Hey.
Well, I also want to bring attention to, we are doing a new series of videos called Masters of Magic. So we were out in Disneyland working with them, and we interviewed some cast members who have some unique jobs out there, a little more not so obvious how they bring the magic to guests. And we had a video go up last week that was Mark Compion, who was a parade float driver. And this week we have Don Keene, who is the resort enhancement manager. So a resort enhancement manager is the person who does like all the windows on Main Street. Anytime the decorations in the park change, they're in charge of that. All that sort of thing. So that video is out now if you want to watch that and kind of see what goes into that sort of thing. She kind of takes us through the process of how they design the window and all that jazz. I don't want to give it all away. So go over youtube.com/disunplugged and watch that video.
You know there's cats roaming around Disneyland?
Yeah. That's where we got you, isn't it? Does anybody else have any housekeeping, anything they want to talk about? Oh, Kathy does. We're going to take it to Kathy live on the moon.
Yes. I don't want to bring the show down, but I want to send my thoughts and prayers to the people of Pittsburgh and the families that lost a loved one.
Yes.
You know, I may not live in Pittsburgh anymore, but my heart is still in Pittsburgh, so it just brings back a lot of memories of the city, and it's tragic what happened.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, for sure. Anybody else got something to add? Craig? Daredevil? No? All right, well then
I thought you were, did you not get John's email?
No, I'm sorry. I did not. I can open it right now if anybody wants to talk about something for a second.
I want to talk about how from now on I want all bad news given to me by Teresa with a giant cat face. Yeah.
How about this? Tomorrow is Halloween, as everyone knows. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're celebrating early. Just remember that lots of little kids are going to be out and about tomorrow. It will be dark. Be patient in your neighborhoods tomorrow. If you are trick-or-treating, wear something reflective or that lights up. Be safe and just be mindful of everyone who is trick-or-treating, big or small.
Yeah. Florida can be a pretty aggressive place to drive. So it's, you know, on Halloween, you have to remember it's starting to get dark a little bit quicker. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think this when I'm just walking the dogs and just, you know, like, oh, people come around the corners pretty tight. So I get nervous around this time of year.
There are speed limits and speed bumps in neighborhoods for a reason.
Yes. So, okay. Well, I looked up, thank you, Julie. I looked up the email that Craig is referring to, and that would be the event that we're having next August to celebrate the 20 years of dreams. So if you want, for all the details and up-to-minute information, there's a thread on disboards.com. It's on the podcast forum right at the top, and it is called, what I just said, 20 years of dreams event, official thread. So there's, as part of this event, there's going to be some discounted rooms available that are available to book now. We are, according to John, already 50% sold out on that available space. So if you think you're going to be able to join us next August, I don't know when the dates are because that is not included in this email. And there is a lot of things happening next 7th August.
7th to the 11th.
It's the what? 7th to the 11th?
I believe so.
There it is. You are correct. Disney's Contemporary Resort, 7th through the 11th. I clicked on it, and you know where I learned all that information? Disboards.com, like I said, to go to. So the Pandora Party, if you're not familiar, we'll be renting out the Pandora area of Disney's Animal Kingdom from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. So that means we get to go on both of the attractions, the Flight of Passage, as well as the Navi River Journey for all the fanatics out there for that wonderful boat ride. It's going to be $95 a person, regardless of age, to register for that event. We're going to have some snacks. There's going to be some character meet and greets out there and all that fun stuff. So I'm looking forward to the event. I think it's going to be really cool. I like that it's at night. It's going to be all lit up and neon and everything. And
yeah, that's going to be completely jazzy. Awesome. Yeah.
Hey, blind lawyer.
Yes.
I can't see your ropes. Show them to me.
Yeah. Woo. Charles' attention to detail.
Okay.
Yes, so let me just double check to make sure I got all that information in there for you that he wanted. So signups for the event are now in the party are now taking place, and like I said, all that information disboards.com in the podcast thread. You'll see it right in there, and of course we'll have a link in the show notes page as well. So is that everything?
I would just say regarding the party, I've had a lot of people question if they can sign somebody up, but they don't know who it's going to be. You have to have the name when you go to sign up.
Yeah.
And everything's non-refundable.
Okay, can you change? Well, that's, I'm not going to make it complicated for anybody right now. That's a question for my boss, not for you. What's on your head?
It's a sticker. It says NASA.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I saw. See? I could read the other ones. There it is. Okay. I was just curious. Anyway, okay. You guys good? All done with this business? Let's move on to the main event, the news, which this week is unfortunately nothing major is happening. A lot of little stories out there. So
it can be fortunate, too.
It could be, yeah.
Unless you're going to say, like, unfortunately, it's all bad.
Yeah, no, well, it's not bad news. Okay. There's some fun stuff.
Given some of the big news stories all involve price hikes and stuff like that, yeah, maybe a small news week is probably to everybody's benefit.
All
easily
right.
Easily digestible news.
We're going to turn it over to the blind lawyer to read the news. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm going to do it. So first up, the Run Disney has revealed the race themes for the 2019 Star Wars Rival Run weekend. And this actually sounds pretty cool to me. 2019 will be the fourth year of Run Disney Star Wars Race Weekend at Walt Disney World Resort. As guests prepare for the upcoming weekend that will be full of galactic fun, the individual race themes have been revealed, and each theme features a light side and dark side rivalry. So the Star Wars Rival Run 5K will be Finn for the light side and Captain Phasma for the dark side. The 10K will be Han Solo and Boba Fett. The half marathon is going to be Rey and Kylo Ren. I ship that. And then the run challenge will be Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader. And for the kids races, it's going to be BB-8 and BB-9E. That is the like little evil BB-8 from Last Jedi. For those wishing to take their marathon journeys to the next level, the Run Disney Kessel Run Challenge can be completed when both the Star Wars Rival Run Half Marathon at Walt Disney World Resort and Star Wars Virtual Half Marathon are completed. This year's Virtual Half Marathon features R2-D2. Participants who register for either the 5K, 10K, half marathon, or challenge by January 15th will have the opportunity to choose their side, which will be revealed through the design of their race bib during the event weekend. Those who register after that date will have their fate chosen by the Force. Ooh. AKA Matt and IT. This immersive event gives participants the opportunity to encounter some of their favorite Star Wars characters along the courses. Apparently there's still some availability left for the weekend events. I checked though, and I think it's like you have to run multiple races. I don't think you can do an individual race anymore. So I don't quote me on that. But if you want to check, it's at rundisney.com. That if you're doing the virtual half marathon, it can be completed from January through March 31st. And the event in person takes place the weekend of April 7th. So I have done the full marathon for the 25th anniversary, and it was painful. I had a friend of ours, Ashley, help me get through it. She ran with me the whole way, and I only cried a little bit, and well, a lot. But I thought Disney does a really good job with this, and I thought when I finished, like, I'll never run again. I may never walk again. But here I am today, sitting in this chair.
Are you ever going to run again?
Right, yeah. I have started to run again, but snakes come out of the woods where I live, and it just is the worst experience. So I run a lot faster to get home than I do out to do the actual exercise. But I thought it was good. I feel like they do a lot to have DJs along the course to really pump you up and get you going. You know, if anyone's done just a regular race in like their hometowns or, you know, marathon somewhere, they're definitely different than a Disney marathon. Disney really has like characters out there to keep you going. They're like very concerned about safety. So there's like medical tents every like mile or two, or, well, it's not every mile. I think it's every like 2 to 3 miles, but it's really cool. But Craig, you and Kylie actually did the Star Wars, one of the events last year, didn't you?
We did the first 2 years.
Oh, okay.
We're done with Star Wars races for a while.
Yeah, see, this is the year I want to do it, and now they're talking about doing the Versus one. It sounds pretty cool.
I know a Craig who did last year's. My friend Craig and his wife Donna both did it, and they're actually, for the next full marathon one coming up where they have all the events, they're getting their kids involved. The kids are going to do the kids' races. But one of the cool things about those races is people watching. They Disney, a lot of people Disney bound and stuff. So I think, yeah, Craig and Donna did like a Han Leia thing, and you get a lot of great pictures, a lot of great character stuff with it. And so even if you're just watching, it's kind of enjoyable too.
I hope it's different. I know it is. Obviously, they had to mold Disneyland's with Walt Disney World since there's not Disneyland races going on right now. That's why they're doing it like this. But the issue was the first year it was amazing. It was really cool. Then the second year it was the exact same. And then the third year saw all the photos from friends running it, and it was the exact same, like the same photo stuff dropped in the exact same place. And so it doesn't really, it's not great. At least up to this point for repeat runners, like you can only get your photo sitting in the Emperor's chair so many times before it starts getting a little stale, especially at the cost of Run Disney races. You should be expecting a little bit more with that. But it's, if you haven't done the Star Wars races before, I recommend it. If you're a Star Wars fan, it is a ton of fun. But if you if you're still on the fence about this one, I would maybe hold back on it, see what they end up doing for it, and then they'll probably continue this choose your own side next year as well too, and then jump in on that one.
Well, they do change up the medals each year. That is one of the differences, right?
Yes, but I mean, and the medals are great because that's what you look back on as it goes down. But even the quality of medals seems to, like, it goes up and down based on the years. Like the first year, the inaugural Star Wars race medals were amazing. Mm-hmm. And then the next year, they're kind of flat and boring. So it's all, you get so much included in the price. So I don't want to complain about it, but it's like, that's part of the reason why my wife and I have moved away from running Disney races and moved towards more regional, because usually the design of the medals are a lot more interesting and unique. Like there's one in New Orleans that we want to do this year because the medal is just absolutely amazing. But
what's the race? What's the race?
It's the Best Damn Race 5K and half marathon that they do there.
They do those.
We have a friend that does that. He loves that race.
Yeah. Yeah. I really want to do that one. I love the medal. It's just like driving 10 hours or 8 hours or 9 hours
to go run.
It's a little intense. But again, with this Star Wars race, at least, if you want to get in on it, it might not be bad, but I would hold off to see what the response is from Run Disney fans.
I mean, the thing that always sounded the coolest to me was when you were describing it, like you're, you know, in the woods and they were doing all the effects with the lasers. And so it made it look like, you know, the red and the green were being like shot off with that sound effects. And I, like, when I was doing the marathon, I was like, man, that would sure motivate me right now.
And that was on the road that takes you, the back road that's for cast members only, that goes from Magic Kingdom, kind of the parking lot area, to Animal Kingdom, going in the back by the tree farm and stuff. That was just one very short portion of it, though. And then the rest is running on those great big old pavement Disney roads.
I think the cat has so a question.
I have a question.
You have to ask with a meow first. Meow. That's how we know.
Meow, meow. Meows at the beginning and the end of any sentences.
Are there people that run this because they just like to run?
Meow, meow.
And they're not, meow. And they're not like interested in all the fanfare and the hubilation. They just want to run because
they're hubilation.
It's with Disney races, it's kind of a mixture of both. They don't want, like, they do run because they love running, but it is because of all the extra benefits that they add on into it. But it's not, it's, you know, there, I'm sure there are some people out there who are just like, I want to run every single race possible, so I'm going to do this. I don't care about anything. But if you're not taking the time to enjoy the scenery of where you are and the extras, then you're really spending a lot of money for just
to run.
To run. It's a lot cheaper to do it other places.
Yeah. And not to like rag on the Disney races or anything like that, but a lot of places you might do it normally, like I do the Celebration half marathon. I've done it like 3 times. That goes back into, like, it was designed to help like the school and stuff like that. So there's like things that the money could go to at other ones. I'm not 100% sure what Disney does with their money all the time, but I know it's I know it's expensive to get it going, but if you want to register for one of those races before it's all gone, like we said, you can go to rundisney.com.
Rhino, you can come run around my cul-de-sac for free.
Are there snakes? There are bears.
Yes, there are bears. That's more motivation.
Yeah, even faster I have to run away. So anyway, on to the next story. So Walt Disney World has announced that Tony's Most Merriest Town Square Party is a thing.
What?
so, So I can't wait for Pete to go to this. A new additional experience is being offered at Tony's Town Square Restaurant on Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party nights this holiday season. So beginning at 9:30 p.m., guests can come and go at their leisure to partake in savory... hors d'oeuvres. I almost read this word wrong. Which will include a selection of artisanal meats, cheeses, as well as Tony's famous meatballs, mini hand-tossed pizzas, boursin stuffed artichokes, and more. So those with a sweet tooth can indulge with pumpkin tartlets, Yule logs, cannoli, Christmas cookies, and red velvet cupcakes. Along with these festive variety of sweet and savory dishes, guests can make a toast to the spirit of the season, which... Oh, with an included selection of beer, wine, and non-alcoholic beverages. Beginning at 11 p.m., guests in attendance will have access to a special reserve viewing area to enjoy Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas Time parade as it makes its way down Main Street, USA. The special experience continues until 12:30 a.m., even longer than Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party.
What makes Tony's balls festive?
Well, the heat lamps they cook them under are red and green this year. That's
nice. Tony's Most Merriest Town Square Party is available for $99 per person plus tax every one of the Christmas parties, every event night at Magic Kingdom. Your access to the Magic Kingdom is required for that, for the party. Annual pass holders and vacation club members can enjoy a one-day exclusive early booking window that is gone. So I regret bringing it up. It was yesterday.
Does it bother anybody else, the most merriest? It really bothers me.
What? What bothers you?
Have to leave my grammar at the door. Or at the gate, rather, before doing anything with Disney, because
it's just really bothering me.
It gets rough.
Well, when they do stuff like that, I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you have seen it, but remember the, like, Mickey, and it was the story of the three ghosts that come to visit him?
Yeah.
And there's the one who is always like, Miss Mashio. So I always think that they're...
Did you really struggle on A Christmas Carol?
I know, right?
Like, yeah, sorry. Well, I was thinking Night Before Christmas, and then I was like, I couldn't get it out of my head, where I was like, I know it's not the story of Christmas, but...
I was thinking Die Hard.
You know, that's it. Mickey, when he was crawling through the vents and he was at the thing... He's like, hot dog.
I'm like, yes, yeah. I do remember the ghost that came to visit Mickey. Yeah. Doesn't everyone?
You guys remember that?
Yeah, that's funny.
But anyway, that's what it reminds me of. Anytime Disney puts too many letters in a thing, I always think about that one ghost who is just always like, had that kind of like speech impediment thing. And I'm always like, oh, Smith Matthews.
That would be the giant from Jack and the Beanstalk. The giant.
Oh, okay, that's what he's from. I don't know.
And he also played the Ghost of Christmas Present.
Christmas. Okay. Well, my VHS tape did not work very well when I was a kid, so
somebody needs to get visited by the ghost.
I don't know. Yeah, good one. Actually, I don't know what happens at the end of that story. 100% honest with you. I mean, I know now.
I'm assuming it doesn't take a hard left from the original.
Oh, my VHS cut out the second they were trying to pull Mickey to hell. So I was like, I thought my mom stopped it. Like,
it was Scrooge McDuck. That's Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh, that's what I meant. I'm sorry. I kept saying Mickey. I know the movie. I've seen it a lot. I'm just mixing the characters.
I actually thought that I hadn't seen it because he kept saying Mickey instead of Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yeah, it is Mickey's Christmas Carol, but it stars Scrooge McDuck as Ebenezer
Mickey
Scrooge.
Mickey is the poor man.
Mickey's Bob Cratchit.
Yes.
Yeah. See, I know things.
You're making me want to go watch the movie because I've never seen it.
Well, you have to wait two more days, VHS. Kathy, and then you can watch it. Okay. Yeah.
You have to wait for the Christmas season.
So yes.
Two more days.
I say watch it to kick it off. Yeah. It's a good movie. Okay. I like it. Well, I'll love to see the end someday.
Yes. Can we move on from the most merriest, please?
We can. From the most merriest of merry tidings.
I don't think we shared one thought.
We sure did. Because we don't care.
I think.
What do you think?
I am just throwing my hat in the ring. From 9:30 to 12:30, if I wanted to just. I have never done this before, but if I wanted to go to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party and just get smashed, it sounds like a really fun way to do it. But I don't otherwise...
Because nothing says Christmas like a drunk Craig.
Well, wait a minute. So was it all you care to drink, or do you... the article wasn't specific, because what I'm... Oh, it's with not, included yes. selection. So it's $100, and you can... I'm assuming it's like hoop-de-doo.
They don't cut you off at the dessert parties when you go to those, so I would assume they wouldn't for this either.
$100. what is it, like $10 a beer at Disney? You got to drink yourself 10. Well, I'm assuming you're having some of the treats too, but I can't really like, I
justify
like
justify $100 for that.
Well, yeah. And I like that they, I will say, I like that they've, it's not just another dessert party. Like they've included like the meatballs and the pizzas and stuff like that. Mm.
Things you can get anywhere.
True. And probably better at other places. But I will say I like that. But yeah, it seems a little steep when you've just paid like $100 for the party as well. So you're like, that's my $200 right there. And I'm an annual pass holder. Mm-hmm. I had to pay $200 for the Magic Kingdom.
The $100 doesn't include the meatballs and the other things?
No, it does.
I'm saying, but if you paid to go to the park
and you paid to do this, that's $200.
Yeah. Cool. So I don't know. I'm sure somebody at some point...
Wrong button.
Did you have something to say?
Sorry. Oh, no. I was just looking like, mm-hmm.
Okay. I am sure somebody's going to go at some point. I mean,
the location is the main draw, but it's, and I know we riff on Tony's a decent bit, but I just can't, like, as far as locations where I could spend any extra money, that it's not, well, I mean.
And, like, the one selling point is for the parade, but one of my close friends, Jeff Lang, who runs Mouse Steps, mm-hmm. he swears that if you want the best parade spot, you wait for the second parade and you go and stand right out front of Tony's. No one's ever there. And he will walk up 2 minutes before and sit down and he's ready to go. So,
well, now everyone will be there.
Oh yeah. Everyone.
I do want to let you know, Craig, and I got it just for you specifically. I did buy that Mickey's holiday hat that has the ears with the reindeer, and it lights up and it has ornaments hanging from the thing. I'm going to wear it Christmas vlog that we do this season.
Terrible.
I say that now, and it's probably only going to be in one. But like, but anyway, I mean, I'm looking forward. The Christmas party is starting a week from Thursday. Yay. So that's kind of crazy to shift that quickly. But I'm excited to go. We're going to be there the first night to check it out. So, but we will not be doing Tony's that night. I can tell you that. So let's move on to the next news story. And Walt Disney World has shared the first look at the new Mickey and Minnie Mouse costumes. So Disney theme parks around the world will soon be celebrating Mickey's 90th birthday along with his lady friend Minnie Mouse. And there are so many plans for special surprises and events. Disney Parks blog has shared the first look at the celebratory duds that Mickey and Minnie will wear for the celebration at Walt Disney World Resort, Disneyland Resort, Hong Kong Disneyland, Shanghai Disney Resort, and Disney Cruise Line. Mickey Mouse's crisp white suit will feature a shower of colorful confetti, while fashion icon Minnie Mouse will don a puff sleeve dress adorned with pom-poms and buoyant bubble skirt for the celebration. Jackie Gailey wrote this article. I don't know how much of this is her own language and how much of this is Disney.
I believe that's Jackie language.
Well, I have noticed, though, in a lot of different articles that we see or news stories that come out, like fashion icon and Minnie Mouse pop up all the time. I don't know when
she's been wearing peekaboo sleeves for the last like 50 years. I mean,
polka dots. She wears
you know, groundbreaking.
Yeah, like fashion icon. I mean, like, I don't see her in Milan walking down the runway. That's all I'm saying.
When does Mickey turn 90?
November?
No, December, right? December. Oh, that's Walt, December 5th.
Yeah. I thought it was in November. Well, anyway, senior costume. I'm not done with this news story. Senior costume designer Joe. That was good. Kukarski shares that both outfits will reflect the party spirit of celebration. The looks that Mickey and Minnie will be wearing to celebrate their 90th anniversary represent all of the colorful exuberance of a party and birthday party decorations, complete with confetti, balloons, pom-poms, streamers, and more. I can't read anything else about this. I'm just really don't care. Okay, the new costumes will be seen at Walt Disney World's Resort and Move It, Shake It, Mouska Dance It street party opening January 18th during Mickey and Minnie's surprise. Well, we've ruined the surprise. Celebration at Magic Kingdom Park, a limited time celebration that will include new entertainment, merchandise, and specialty food and beverage. The costumes are actually going to be debuting at other parks before ours. Hong Kong Disneyland gets theirs November 18th, Shanghai the 18th as well. Disneyland gets theirs in January, same as us. And then Disney Cruise Line has to wait till the summer. So, excuse you.
But I'm excited to see mice in clothing. Different.
Of course you are.
I like when they change their outfits, personally.
Takes on an ominous tone today, Teresa.
I like their outfits, but good Lord, look at this photo. Did I really need to read this thing that went on as long as it did about Mickey Mouse essentially melted a box of crayons on his shoulder? And she's throwing out pom-poms, and I get it.
Rhino. That it is a cultural tradition to wear loud colors when you're mouse dancing.
Yes, one does.
How you miss this, I guess you live a sheltered, boxed life. But I just, like, mouse dancing requires a certain amount of flair.
I miss that part of the 90
years of Mickey Mouse
is
pretty incredible.
It kind of blows
he was
your mind,
one of my first loves. I remember loving Mickey Mouse before
you're into
I
older
knew
men,
anything about Disney.
Older mice, excuse me. I mean, it's cool. I'm with Julie. I like when they change their outfits. I liked his, like, hoodie outfit that they gave
Ew.
Him last year better, but...
I didn't like the hoodie.
Just me.
Yeah, he was trying to be too young.
He was trying to be young. He's getting old.
Yeah, but I don't want to see my dad in a hoodie.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to our last news story.
It took me a really long time to process that. Yeah. Okay.
She's disgusted by the idea of her father in a hooded sweatshirt. So... If you are over the age of, I'm going to assume, 30, don't wear a hoodie in Teresa's presence. Now I just need everyone to start mailing a slew of hoodies to the Welcome Center.
Where'd my toy go?
Oh, God.
Open your eyes.
Next story.
All right. And it's in my realm, and Charles as well, I guess, here, because it's a Marvel-related one. Disney Cruise Line announces addition of Captain Marvel to the Marvel Day at Sea. So for the first time ever, guests are going to be able to have an encounter with the most powerful heroes in the Marvel Universe as part of Marvel Day at Sea aboard select 2019 Disney Magic Sailings departing January 6th through March 8th from Miami. Mm-hmm. Captain Marvel will join the VIP lineup of superheroes and villains, which include Iron Man, Captain America, Black Widow, Thor, Loki, Spider-Man, Black Panther, Doctor Strange, and more. And that more does not include Daredevil. Marvel Day at Sea features a deck show, spectacular themed youth activities, special merchandise, and unique food and beverage offerings in addition to the character encounters. Be sure to catch Marvel Studios' Captain Marvel in theaters and aboard all Disney Cruise Line ships on March 8th. I am excited for the movie, and I just assumed the character was going to debut somewhere that wasn't Walt Disney World, and I sure was right in my assumption.
Yeah. No, I'm super excited to see the character and really excited for the movie.
Do you think she's going to be full-faced, or do you think she'll wear her helmet?
I think at some point they're going to throw the helmet on, but I'm not sure because, like, she's with a lot of these actors, if it's not an action scene, they don't want them in their helmet because they're paying big money to have that celebrity face, mm-hmm. which is why, like, Tony Stark as Iron Man would be very easy to defeat. You just wait till he talks and then, like, blast him in the face because he's always got that visor up. So you need to say Robert Downey Jr.'s pretty mug.
You have gone off into a weird tangent.
I care about superheroes and helmet issues. Somebody's got to speak on it. We're all dancing around the subject.
Well, Craig, do you have any experience with the Marvel Day at Sea or anything like that? I know you're the most experienced sailor in the room.
No, I believe Julie's more experienced than I am. I would say Kathy probably is too.
I've been on every ship, Reno.
Oh,
not only that, Julie? she's platinum.
Do you have any experience?
Well, I'm like one away from platinum.
Wow. Well, we need to
not with
Marvel
Day.
Day
no, I don't.
I'm just curious. I want to see what it's like. If it's worth
my
you know.
Kids don't want to be in there at sea. They want to be out on the deck in the pool in the sun doing.
Will
the...
they be on the beach?
No, I think they only on the ship. There's a special area on the ships for them. But my thing is, too, is that, like, you know, Disney makes this whole thing where Marvel is about, it's not just for kids, it's for adults, it's for everybody. And it just, I'm waiting for the experience for, like, the adult on the cruise line. Like, I don't know what it is or what it looks
private
like.
Private experience?
But just
what
something
you
that you can, like, participate in with them, like with the kids or something like that.
I like the idea of a complete Marvel-themed cruise.
Yeah.
Or I like the idea of, it's why I love the Halloween cruises and the holiday cruises, because it's every single day you're in that element. With this one, it's like you're paying that extra money to have that one day
right
at sea where everything's going on. To me, it's not enough to ever lure me into wanting to take one of these cruises because I don't need to buy a bunch of limited edition merchandise. I don't need any of those little specials. Now, if it is a thing that they were doing an entire week of where it's a really special cruise, that's different. Even then, for me, Marvel probably wouldn't happen, nor Star Wars. Like, it would have to be something really, really unique, like... Like every year the TCM cruises come out on Disney Cruise Line. Gosh. Like I'm interested in those. Sit and watch old movies with a bunch of people.
I thought that's what you meant by TCM, but then I was like, maybe he doesn't.
No, he does.
Is TCM hipper than something I know of? Is he using a different acronym?
No, he's not.
He's talking about Turner Classic movies.
Yeah, if you haven't been in a good TCM party, then you haven't lived.
That's like a dream.
I think Craig is turning into Teresa's dad.
I don't get invited to those parties because I don't own any cardigans. Forget about
the ropes. Let's go with the dude over here that didn't dress up. Yeah, I'm on board for this.
We already talked TCM. Why he couldn't.
We're talking about she's on board with his TCM.
Yeah, she's on board on my ship.
I got you.
Yeah, she's on his ship.
Yeah, we ship that.
Old movies.
My last thing, what you're saying though is a good idea. I would love to see them expand the day at sea into like the sailing, like the Marvel sailing, where like maybe the formal night is like you do a Marvel character inspired formal wear. You know, Disney bounding is such a big thing. Like, you know, challenge people to stuff like that. I would like to see that. But I'm done talking about all these news stories because eventually I want to get to our discussion. But I think I'm going to save it to the end and I want to get rapid fires out of the way. So I will go first as I see Charles struggling with his rope. To get his phone turned back on.
I got a couple fingers.
So mine is Nightmare Before Christmas Halloween Soiree is going to be at the Edison tomorrow night, October 31st. Guests 21 years and older who are looking for an exciting way to spend Halloween night at Walt Disney World can now purchase tickets for a special event celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Nightmare Before Christmas. Those attending are invited to arrive in costume, in costumes which pay homage to the Tim Burton classic. So the costume contest will be judged by Ashley Eckstein of Her Universe, who's very nice person in real life. Small plate snacks will be served along with signature drinks that were inspired by the film. Additionally, guests will enjoy a captivating entertainment lineup that includes some live music by The Pearls, past hors d'oeuvres, welcome cocktail, so you get one drink, costume contest, stilt walkers, aerialist performances, amazing giveaways, and take home treats. So the Edison full food and beverage menu will also be available for purchase during the event. Like I said, the event takes place tomorrow, October 31st, and doors will open at 7:30 p.m. The tickets can be purchased for $85 plus tax and gratuity per person. There is still some space left for this if you're interested. It sounds a little pricey if you're just getting like the welcome drink and like some hors d'oeuvres and stuff. Again, like maybe if this was like $50, like I love Ashley Eckstein, but I don't, she's in Florida all the, I think she lives here now, but she's here all the time. She's great. But anyway, that's mine. Moving on. Charles?
Okay. Hold on.
Oh, it's not as see-through as we thought.
When people figure out that I am not indeed a super-powered blonde lawyer. okay.
You're not?
So much for the magic.
So,
Do the do-rag. Go ahead.
Okay, there we go. So Disney Springs hotels are offering special holiday rates that are coming up, and you can get these rates between November 1st, 2018 and January 15th, 2019. So if you're still looking to book a hotel for a Walt Disney World holiday vacation, keep this info in mind. The first up is the Bee Resort and Spa has rates from $159 per room per night. Best Western Lake Buena Vista, $108 per room per night. DoubleTree Suites by Hilton Orlando rates $149 per suite per night. Hilton Orlando Buena Vista Palace goes for starts at $139 per room per night. Hilton Orlando Lake Buena Vista starts at $122 per room per night. Holiday Inn Orlando goes to for $95 per room per night to start. And lastly, Wyndham Garden Lake Buena Vista starts at $79 per room per night. And just remember that with the Disney Springs hotels, if you stay at one, you do get the extra magic hours access and you can schedule fast passes up to 60 days in advance. Then you've got shuttle trips back and forth, and they give you like this coupon book the, what was it, Passport to Savings, which gives you like a bunch of coupons for Disney Springs area restaurants. There are a bunch of like big name restaurants, but also shops and everything like that. So it's a coupon booklet that goes with it. But I mean,
can't believe those are still a thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the first time I've heard of one in a very long time. Well, they used to sell them at the holidays and stuff like
that. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, but so anyway, I mean, those are their current rates. So keep that in mind. Disney Springs area hotels, you do still get like extra magic hours, which is one of the prime benefits to staying at a resort property and stuff like that. So just keep that in mind if you're searching.
Cool.
Thank you, Charles. Kathy?
The World of Disney opened up at Disney Springs.
Ooh.
I like it. I like what they did. It seems much larger than it was. And I want to go back and check out all the little Disney touches that they put in there. We caught some of them, but there's still some more that we haven't seen. The paint wall.
Craig put a little video in this clip. Oh, cool. Look at that. That's cool. It was literally what Kathy was talking about. We saw like all the animations that get brought to life are cool. I am a fan. I have been a few times now, and I agree with you. It looks bigger, but it's also my friend was trying to say it reminds him of Sears, and I was like, oh, Lord, what Sears are you going to? This is way nicer than a Sears.
Yeah.
Sears? I was like, oh, I don't know a Sears that has brick lining on the inside of it.
And Sears also, they're all closed down.
Well, yeah, but so you know the. Are you going to tell us the story about the theming behind the new one?
No.
No. Okay.
Just it's open.
All righty.
I was trying to be rapid.
It opened.
I think it has a fun backstory that ties into Disney Springs.
That was so great.
Well, people were saying, and I don't want to step on your story, but people were saying that from the pictures that I put up that it didn't look very Disney. I think they took Disney in a whole different way, and like it.
I agree.
And I think they stepped up their game again with the merchandise. There was a lot of really cool stuff in this store.
I love the Mickey Mouse Club merch mm-hmm. that they have in there. That's like a throwback, like a lot of designs, and they
do
have a lot of
they have the jackets.
They do. They have the Letterman jackets.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I keep telling myself like, don't do this. You just bought the stupid Letterman jacket they had last year, and you haven't been able to wear it a single day yet. Lord, I bought it at the.
These are the conversations in Rhino's head.
Oh, every morning. You can ask Kylie. She knows I have a jacket problem too.
Yeah, a very interesting thing about the store and what I'm starting to learn about Disney fans in general. I love this store. I think it's beautiful. I think it's wide open. I went back in after it opened, like after the grand opening, went into the store when it was probably at its busiest. And even being like completely insane, you could still move about mm-hmm. very okay. easily. You could still find everything really well. The thing I've learned, and I'm not saying anyone's wrong for feeling that way. I never associated Disney with being like, with always like having decorations hanging up. And that's the main thing, the feedback that I've gotten about this place is, oh, it was amazing because of all, you'd walk in and you'd look up and see all the decorations. They were there and I could see them out of the side of my eyes, but I went into World of Disney because I needed to buy something. Yeah. I didn't go in to
go stare at the ceiling.
Yeah, to go stare at a ceiling. And ultimately that's, flat out what they told me is that, well, we need to make it a better shopping experience for people. That's why they're in there. They're not in there to go and look around. That doesn't make Disney money. This makes Disney money. And I know that can get into a further conversation on it, but not everything has to be like slap you in the face Disney to still have that.
Right.
And I don't like, it's been this stretch where magic now has to be equated to these certain physical things. And I thought magic's just the feeling that you get the second you drive onto Disney property and you're there.
Like, I agree with you 100%. I actually think it's more Disney now than it was before. Like it to me felt like a retail store before, somewhere that you do go in and you just buy something. And this now it has like a story that fits in where it is. So the whole thing was that it was originally a citrus produce market, and that's why it's over in that area where it was. And then it was an office for animators for a while, and then now it's a retail space. So that's why like. If you look when you go to buy stuff at the cash registers, they have like doodles of like different Disney movies are on there. And then like Craig put in the slide for us. It had the moving things like that. It feels much more innovative than the original store did. So that's where I'm kind of like really confused about people not saying it was like
now
Disney.
What they did too is they sort of brought the Disney down to eye level instead of having to look up.
That's a good point. Yeah,
you've got the big Mickey hat there.
Yeah,
you have the one display that it's Cinderella dolls with the chandeliers over top of them. So it's a more subtle maybe Disney store, but being able to walk around in there, I thought was great.
And I get some people's argument that it's cheap projections on the wall. Yes, that granted, that's what a lot of it is. But also, it's because they're planning on keeping this a fresh place. So the Mickey Mouse stuff is there right now because that's the line that they're currently pushing. The next time that they're switching up their merchandise and they want to promote something else, that Mickey hat's going to be gone. That video is going to be gone. It's going to be replaced with the new one.
Easy to change.
Right now we have the one Christmas section that's full of stuff. Obviously after Christmas, that's going to be switched up with a new theme as well too. So it also helps with that, and it can bring you into sections of the store where you do feel immersed in a part of Disney, but they're able to adapt it and change it earlier. So it's not so static anymore. It's modern, it's fresh, and it's also got a new energy about it.
And it's not as easy to get separated from the rest of your party anymore because you can just look out and be like, they're way over there.
Yeah.
They're not in a separate room that I now have to go through like a maze. Okay, awesome. Well, thank you, Kathy.
Oh, you're welcome.
Miss Teresa over there, meow, meow.
You talking to me?
Yeah, meow.
Okay. what was my rapid fire? I just took a little nap, and now I forgot.
It's okay.
No, I remember. It's that creepy time of year. Where's the mic? It's that time of year again. Cracker Christmas is coming back.
Oh, goodness.
Shut up. I've gone every year for 10 years. Pete goes. It's a tradition. In Fort Christmas, which is in Christmas, Florida, which is on I-50 if you're going to Titusville.
Highway 50, not I-50. 50,
east of here. Whatever, it's by my house. And they've been doing this for like 35 years. It is a craft show. It's Pioneer displays and showing you how to do the Pioneers lived. It's good food. It's all kinds of things. And it's free, which is what I love about it. You know?
If anyone is curious about what it looks like, there is a video on the Diz
Let me
YouTube
tell you
channel.
Right now.
Hold on.
I'm not done talking. Is that what you said to me earlier?
But I'm the host of the show.
Yeah, but I didn't give you the dates yet.
Okay. Yeah. The slide that Craig did.
Told us.
Remember, though, this is an audio show that's enjoyed by a lot of people.
All right. Geez. Teresa, please tell me more about Cracker Christmas, if you will.
Yeah. First weekend in December 1st and 2nd. It's always then. So it's December 1st and 2nd, 2018. It's free. Parking's free. Go. I'm done.
What's the best thing to do? What's your favorite thing to go do there, though?
Oh, I like the crafts. They're unique.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I like the food.
They make that big, the kettle corn and the big
the
giant
kettle
thing
corn
out there.
All kinds of, and you know what I like about it? It's like the local Boy Scouts have a booth selling their food and different local, the communities involved. And I like it. And I like the fact that you learn things and I just like it.
So if you want to, Teresa's in the video, actually, if you want to see what it looks like you go to youtube.com/WDWinfo. You can search for Cracker Christmas in there, and there's a video. She will look like a human, FYI.
You know what? This might not even be me sitting here, right?
Yeah, we just have – it's actually Tyler under there. We're just phoning in your voice. We're trying something new.
Yeah,
well, thank you, Teresa.
Thanks for me. I'm done.
Julie?
Okay. So Ralph Breaks the Internet is coming to theaters very soon, November 21st to be exact. I don't know about you guys, but we're very excited. So it should come as no surprise that Ralph and Vanellope are going to be visiting some Disney parks. You'll be able to meet them.
The Vanellope creeps me out. I don't know why.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Because Vanellope creeps me out in the parades and in the shot that
I don't
they have
understand
right
why she's
shoulder.
Not a face character.
Like, yeah, I think that's
yeah,
what it is.
It's just, you know? I don't know what it is when she, I saw her in the
Wait,
Halloween
Ralph
parade.
Ralph doesn't creep you out, but
no,
Vanellope
because his face is a little more...
He's supposed to be gigantic. Yeah,
he looks so cartoonish, but she is like Uncanny Valley, just similar enough to how a person would look that it weirds me out. I don't know. It's like a giant children.
Yes, because she's a giant
she's
child.
An adult,
yeah, I think that's
she's
what it is.
An adult-sized child, and so it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
He does not like adult-sized children.
What
people.
Else do you have to say about that?
So, November 9th, they will be at Disney's California Adventure in Hollywoodland, starting November 9th. And then at Disney World, they'll be at Epcot. It doesn't say... Oh, and Interventions West. Okay. On November 21st, it will start. So... It also said that a new experiment will soon be underway at the Imagination Institute, creating a portal into other dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
This winter, that portal opens a window on the internet for Ralph and Vanellope to step through for regular encounters. So
Whoa.
You can also meet them at the ImageWorks area in the Imagination Pavilion. So it sounds like they're taking over Figment's area, Kathy.
Better not be.
Bye, bye.
I love meeting Wreck-It. Personally, I love meeting Wreck-It Ralph. He's a fun character to interact with. He actually tried to go home with Ferris the first time we met him.
Oh,
so
sweet.
I can't wait for him to meet
is
Vanellope
this the first
too.
Time, Vanellope's been out, or is it?
I've only
out.
Ever seen her in that in the parade. Isn't it the Halloween
yeah,
parade?
If I can remember correctly, she made her debut in the parade
okay.
as a character.
Okay,
but because I only remember Ralph when he was back.
Yeah,
here
and it was just
time.
Him.
But
it
that's
was
also
not.
Been a long.
It has
time
been a
now.
Long time.
So it's over. There where that Figment thing is?
Yes. So in California Adventure Hollywoodland and then also in Interventions West or the ImageWorks area at Epcot. So starting November 21st, just so you don't forget.
Well, awesome. I still haven't seen Wreck-It Ralph, so I need to because I do want to see the
you?
New one. I know. I tried to watch it at Fort Wilderness, but everybody was so loud I couldn't hear it. I just left.
Oh, I love that movie.
Oh, it's so cute.
Sour Bill.
Well, thank you, Julie. And Craig, what do you have for us?
Okay, so the full menus have been released for Epcot International Festival of the Holidays. Even though I usually have nothing good to say about any of the year-round festivals
you
at
sure don't.
Epcot, I actually do enjoy this one. So this is my favorite, obviously. It falls over the holiday season. So in terms of the menus, it's a lot of the same repeats from years past. Like in terms of the food booths, they're bringing back the Bavaria Holiday Kitchen, the American Holiday Table, the Yukon Holiday Kitchen in Canada, the Feast of the Three Kings in the Showcase Plaza, the Holiday Sweets and Treats also in that area. But this year I'm excited. They're bringing the Lakayam Holiday Kitchen. So they are going to have obviously things like, as you saw in the picture, a pastrami on rye, a potato knish, a chicken and matzo ball soup, and of course for Seinfeld fans out
soup.
There
what
the black and white cookie.
Oh.
I was kind of hoping for marble rye, but oh. Okay.
Well, I mean, technically, isn't that marble
yes,
rye?
Yes, it is. But I'm talking about, like, I want the whole thing.
Yeah. You know, maybe you could just
give
go up and ask
bread.
Me. I don't really want the meat.
I just want
the marble rye. Give me the bread, you old bag.
Give me the bread.
So there's that. I really am happy that that's coming, though. My favorite addition last year to the holiday stuff was the band Mostly Kosher that played all the way back by Morocco and France area, so where the Brazil booth is set up for food and wine, and they were absolutely amazing. They were the most entertaining thing you could find at the festival last year. So adding a booth in that area too, I think, is going to take it up another level. But there's still lots more that's going to be happening. There's going to be one in France, one in Morocco, one in Italy, Shanghai, China, obviously, Japan, just a ton of booths. So if you're coming this holiday season, definitely check it out.
Did they say whether they'll have the eggnog beer again or not?
Yeah, that's every year.
For what? Like 2 years in a row?
Yeah.
Okay.
But every year for 2 years.
You say it like it's
every
been going
year.
On for 10 years.
Since
They did. Craig and I have a local place we like to go to that we speak of often on the show because it's right outside of Disney Springs property is the Sea Dogs Brewing, and they did bring that eggnog beer from Epcot last year. Was on tap, and I might have a drinking problem. So, all right. Well, that'll do it for the rapid fire. Let's move on to the discussion, which is based on an article that Craig sent me, which was pretty good. So this is an article by Rachel Ashbrook, and it's called Disney World Attraction Overlays, the Halloween Edition. So in the article, Rachel talks about how at Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween party, we got a couple overlays this year. Overlays, I'm going to use some air quotes there, which was basically Space Mountain turning off the lights. The Mad Tea Party added some new lights. I know Craig really enjoyed that one. And then Pirates of the Caribbean added some three live actors in the queue and throughout the attraction, or at one part of the attraction, I should say. So those, I feel like, fell a little flat, maybe. It was nice that there was effort there, but it's nothing like the Haunted Mansion holiday out in Disneyland, you know, and that's amazing. Or Ghost Galaxy at Monsters After Dark in California Adventure. But Rachel went through and did an article where she kind of had some ideas for overlays for different attractions and stuff like that. But I thought it would be fun discussion for us to come up with attractions that we think would be ripe for a Halloween overlay. And maybe we'll just go park by park if anybody has any ideas. Can anybody think of anything at Magic Kingdom they'd like to get a Halloween treatment?
Small World.
What do you think, Teresa? I'm a little scared to...
I'm thinking the heaven room at the end should be the clown room.
Oh, Lord. That's Charles's worst nightmare, I think.
Right?
Yeah, it's just pretty close.
Dim the lights a little and... I don't know.
Well, actually, Rachel in the article does mention Small World being pretty good for one, because she was saying you turn the lights down real low, you add a lot of fog, and you change the tempo of the music slightly.
It'll be creepy all by
itself.
And
I'm like, oh,
that would
my God.
Be creepy.
Yeah,
it'd
I'm
be like you, dolls coming to life.
She's saying pop a strobe light in some areas, and I'm like, have a couple of the dolls' arms stretched out toward the boat. Like, it
could you could even do, like, you know, overlays over their faces that make them look scary. You
oh,
know,
yeah,
like
a little sort of projection or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I would love for them to add skeletons to Big Thunder Mountain. Kind of with that
I was
same
thinking
idea.
Big Thunder Mountain,
that
too.
Would be really
things
cool.
That pop out, yeah. You know? Yeah.
Or, like, Charles, go ahead.
She mentions Big Thunder Mountain, and that, I was talking about that when I went to Mickey's Not So Scary a lot. Is there some that really lend themselves perfectly to Halloween that they do, you know, Big Thunder Mountain, Old Prospectors, Dynamite, Ghost Cowboys, mm-hmm. like totally lends itself very easy to Halloween. A lot of Liberty Square, like why aren't we seeing more Pioneer ghosts like walking around or anything
I do,
like that?
I
or
do think just Roman they've, cast members.
Yeah, they've got
good.
The Roman, they've got, you know, the
ooh, the presidents come out of Hall of Fame. <Hall of,
laughs> Zombie presidents was definitely one I thought about. But awesome.
Hold on, you guys are you're plowing through the attractions yeah. right now.
No, but
I got to use the litter box. Let's speed this up.
Yeah, like for I guess the top one, the most easily accessible, I think, is Big Thunder Mountain, just because like I mean, well, those cowboys, but Pirates of the Caribbean also bothers me too, the way they did their overlay, because like you know they do the whole was the name of the guy you're chasing.
Gunpowder Pete.
Yeah, I was about to say Pistole Pete or something. But Gunpowder Pete, you're searching for and everything. Those movies are all framed around, like, ghost pirates. The first movies and everything. Like, why wasn't it a little more ghostly? Why wasn't it a little more, like, spectral or spooky for Halloween? They added a pirate in Pirates of the Caribbean. That you could do that on any holiday.
Yeah, no,
Halloween was not...
I totally get that. So, but it's... Sorry, Kathy. I don't want to talk over you, Kathy, but I think the only reason why it, like, they do have ghost, kind of that type of idea with ghost pirates in the Disneyland version of Pirates of the Caribbean, and obviously they had, like, the little waterfall changing with Davy Jones mm-hmm. and the other one, too. So they've kind of gone in that path before. I don't know if it's a road to go down. That's just my opinion. Sorry, Kathy.
Okay, no problem.
Kathy,
no,
what were you trying to say?
It's your turn now.
Oh, it's
that's
my
what I meant.
Turn.
Were you trying to say something?
I think the park's just fine the way it is. Except for the parade, because every year that I see the parade go down, pretty much that whole entire parade except for the shovel guys, and the dancers, I think they could redo that. It's like recycle the magic. It's a big entertainment company. Do something different to the parade.
Yeah. I am with you. I think Thunder Mountain would be cool, though. I would like to see, like, projections on it, ghosts coming out of the thing or something like that. Like, something easy, but... Rachel brings up another one that I think would be amazing, and I want to live to see the day that this becomes a reality. The Country Bear Jamboree having a Halloween overlay where they do their like a whole Halloween show. Maybe they sing some, like, you know, Americana Halloween song. Because who doesn't love the soundtrack to Mater's Junkyard Jamboree? If you haven't heard it, it is streaming. Craig makes that very aware every day we're in here. And it is, like, I would love something that made some fun Disney. Like, you know, everybody loves singing the Haunted Mansion, the Grim Grinning Ghosts. Like, I want more of those type of, like, Halloween moments and stuff like that. Well, okay. Well, she brought up bringing back Alien Encounter, which we all sadly know that will never happen. What about Disney's Hollywood Studios? Anything there you think they could get a Halloween overlay? I mean, it's got Tower of Terror. It's already spooky, right? But
I have something.
Go ahead.
I think they should have ghosts of Hollywood stars past roaming the streets. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be kind
of scare zones.
Yeah.
But not scary, but just, you know, oh, God, here comes Clark Gable, you know, whatever.
I was thinking Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn Monroe, right. Oh,
yeah. I could see something like that.
But iconic stars that anyone would know, you know, Charlie Chaplin walking along, whatever. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah. Well, Rachel brought up Toy Story Midway Mania of Terror, which is actually, I think, a really cool idea because it's a screen-based attraction. It wouldn't take too much to add in this overlay. And Toy Story has done a Halloween. They did the Toy Story of Terror. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it would fit right in with this. And it's just like she says, have Mr. Prickle Pants do the narration because he's got that very, you know, deeper theatrical voice. And you just kind of go through the screens like that. I think that would be really neat. I don't know.
Anytime we can get an ex-Bond actor to loan their voice to Disney, I say, why not?
Oh, my gosh. Is Mr. Prickle Pants... from Hot Fuzz and...
Yeah, Timothy Dalton.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think I realized that. Now you say it, I'm like, oh, it's so obvious, but that's cool.
I would like to see something fit in with Rock and Roller Coaster, because I feel like that's... we've already seen for the Galactic Knights, they're able to transform it to Star Wars. It doesn't make much sense because you're, like, loading still in a back alley, and then you just hear Star Wars music during the ride, but... It's still, like, I feel like they can do something.
Even if it's just a Halloween song.
Yeah, well, they need to find the right Halloween song. Forget about, like, the loading area and this nonsense with Aerosmith and all that. You can't fix that, but at least put in a good Halloween song. You know, the Monster Mash, perhaps. So.
You got to get to the lab. You're late
Lord
to the
help
lab.
Us.
Yeah, I think that would be pretty cool. I feel like in the Frozen Ever After sing-along area, they could do a Halloween-oriented show in there or something like that would be cool. I know they can't really do much with Star Wars or anything like that, but I think something in there, maybe like an original show would be neat. Now, how about at Epcot? Rachel says... The Three Caballeros presents Dia de los Muertos. I think that would be great. Mm-hmm. I would love it if that whole attraction was turned into the Coco thing, like has been a rumor for a while. Who knows if it'll happen or not. But I do always like that celebration. I think it would fit in, too, because you could be educating people about the holiday and stuff. But I honestly think every pavilion in Epcot, like how they do the Christmas, they do the story of the Christmas trees around the world, like... I know not as many places celebrate Halloween the same way the United States does.
Yeah,
but
I think that's the problem that they run into, is that it's not the cultural phenomenon in other countries the way that it is here.
Yeah.
It's starting to pick up more and more as time goes on, but it's still, you know, it's not really such a thing there.
How about Soarin'? Soarin' could soar over castles and graveyards, and
you could be seeing like Dracula's castle.
Yeah, go to Romania and stuff. Yeah.
You're hesitating on that.
Oh, I'm actually gonna take the Kathy answer on this one and say that I don't think Epcot has any, besides Dia de los Muertos being in in the Mexico Pavilion. I don't think Halloween and Epcot have any business mixing with each other. It just doesn't make sense to me. But
you like it when it's Christmas.
Well, yeah, because Christmas, it's not just Christmas. It's about the holidays. And pretty much every culture has a holiday that has that similar atmosphere to Christmas, where it's about remembering family, about cherishing time together, looking for peace, goodwill towards men, all of that. It's not just necessarily Christmas.
So I can see that.
That's
see
with Halloween. Yeah. It's such an Americanized.
It's very specific. Yeah,
good counterpoint, Craig.
Yeah.
Really?
See, I just liked him to be able to be heard sometimes. He doesn't get to say his side of the view.
No, I feel what you're saying there.
Yeah, I think that's actually a very valid point. So
you don't want a journey into imagination where Figment reanimates corpses or something like that?
No. No. Okay.
I just want the meme of it cutting to Kathy all the time going, no. We're cutting live to Kathy on the scene at Epcot.
No.
No. No. Anyway, what about anything in Animal Kingdom that you think would be there? I think it would be a weird place to have a Halloween celebration too, for many of the same reasons. It doesn't really fit in the theme of the park necessarily. Like, I get Magic Kingdom, you get it. Like Main Street, I think of like trick or treating, small town USA, that sort of thing. Animal Kingdom being about like conservation and things like that, it's a little weird. But
in that article, she brings up that one good like a good point about that though, about focusing on some of the Halloween animals that exist that maybe don't get enough either credit or don't get enough like environmental research going into protecting them. You know, bats.
Oh, that's all, a good, yeah. Like, spiders, cats, she says.
Yeah, yeah. You've got a bunch of like Halloween themed animals, and it wouldn't have to be full overlay, Halloween-themed but it could bring attention animals to protecting various endangered species that fall in those Halloween fun lists, you know?
Oh, that's, I would love to see with this, even though it makes no sense, I would love to see an Everest After Dark. So mm-hmm. kind of like the same idea with Guardians of the Galaxy in California Adventure. Here at Expedition Everest, once you get to the nighttime portion of it, you know, the idea of the Yeti is scary enough. Mm-hmm. Start playing like this rock music during it. That kind of has that eerie feel to it.
Add some
it
lighting. Could,
yeah, add extra lighting around, maybe some like thunder flashes. Again, makes no sense at all thematically, but it could add that scary level to it.
Yeah. Well, Rachel brought up a cool one. She says it's tough to be a ghoul. You know, she knows it's tough to be a bug, but she was saying that it could be kind of hosted, I don't know if I agree, with the hitchhiking ghosts from the Haunted Mansion, and they'll talk about how it's hard to be like a scary entity around Halloween. But that would be a cute, another, it's like a theater with a 3D thing that you can, you know, you can kind of put something in there. However, like it being in the tree, I don't know. I don't know. See, this is, again, these are all things that we just, you know, this is just a fun whatever. This is obviously isn't things that I hope that or believe that will ever realistically come to light or anything like that. But, well, that's all four of the parks. How about the water parks? No, they're a nightmare enough. They have enough germs there.
Zombies.
Yeah.
Well,
Disney Springs, I think I'd like to see. They did the Wonderfall celebration this year. I'd like to see Disney Springs kind of break out some just decorations for the season.
Yeah, really. I agree with that.
And the same thing with some of the larger resorts that do large-scale Christmas decorations. You know, you've got gingerbread houses everywhere. You've got some Christmas decor going around there. Like, it wouldn't have to be for the 3 months of, you know, Mickey's Not So Scary or anything, but just, you know, a couple weeks before Halloween, do just something fun. They
but
don't have to be groundbreaking,
but themed for the resort.
Yes, exactly.
You know, like Pop could be retro-east, you know, decorations and, you know, Riverside or whatever. It has to be, has to go with the resort. It can't just be, you know, black and white.
I'd like to see somewhere. Well, I mean, I guess we're forgetting, like, I love, one of my favorite things is about Fort Wilderness at Halloween time. You know, the people, they all get into it and they decorate the campers and the campsites and the cabins and the golf carts and all that sort of stuff. And they do the pumpkin carving thing. I'd like to see
that
kind of brought.
Return of Sleepy Hollow thing.
Yeah. And it works there because you're like in the woods and it's fun. But I love in Disney California Adventure, if you've never been to Disneyland, they on the Buena Vista Street area, which is all like 1920s kind of themed, that whole era, like the 40s, 50s, that sort of aesthetic of Halloween, I love. And I would love to see somewhere, use that a little bit more. And I thought Disney Springs would be a great place. But, well, that's that. I if you guys have any places, any ideas or anything like that, I'd recommend check out Rachel's article on the Diz at www.info.com or leave some comments on this YouTube video. But thank you, everybody, for joining us for that show. Julie, it's been wonderful. Julie left. if you are a fan of the Diz or the Diz Unplugged, I would recommend subscribing to the YouTube channel. And when you are subscribed, make sure you click that bell. And whenever we upload a video, not just the podcast, but like vlogs and everything we work on, you'll get a little notification that'll let you know there's something special waiting for you on YouTube. You know, if you're listening on iTunes, please feel free to rate and review the podcast. We always enjoy constructive criticism. Constructive criticism is the key word right there. So thank you guys for bearing with me and my first time hosting the show, but that will do it for this episode of the Diz Unplugged. And I just want to say happy Halloween, everyone.